yard though.
Thank you.
deal with it.
Have you, shall I say, write to you personally?
Through our personal channel.
Write to you through our private personal channels.
Capital is my mother.
Should I say anything about the Olympic thing on this, Chancellor Brown?
Well, I think the confession is that he admired the dignity of the draft of the draft, you said.
Advisory committee piece up. I'm going to bring it. I haven't done that anymore. this thing down, so that space committee's going out, we're gonna throw it out. We would get rid of Fiat, except I think it's required by law, but,
And it's a useful place.
It may use it, the arms to throw along. I had a very hard talk with Scoop Jackson, and, this is something that I'm going to do now. You would let me cut the budget before, you know, it's budget is $9 million, Scoop said, Mr. President. Because I know that I haven't gotten through to your staff down there on this, but he says, I can't tell you, he says, you just don't know. He said, the bureaucracy of the Arms Control Agency is anti-American, it's anti-administration, and it's violently anti-you. He says, they have been cutting you up and down, and he said, you have got to get that damn organization cleaned out.
That might have been, I agree.
Well, you remember, though, we didn't cut it before, but you remember Jerry Smith put a squeal, and Rogers put a squeal, and the rest. I'm gonna cut the son of a bitch down to the core. We're not gonna have those damn bureaucrats over there making trouble. You understand? We're gonna have that. But you see, it's $9 million budget. In fact,
I put them under state, Mr. President. State will be happy.
Well, state will be happy with that. And our state will be, it's gonna be a very different situation. Now, the other thing is the economic thing. I told him, I said, this will not work. And he said, well, the place that it belongs is in state if you have a new state department organization. I said, oh, yes, fine. And I said, right as a man. Well, he then hollered and said, well, that's a job that Pete Mining would dearly love that. I said, Bob, we've got to be candid. I said, Pete can't handle that job. And you know, he gulps a little, but, you know, our guys are loyal, but they're a little blind. But do you agree or not, if can Pete handle it or not?
Well,
I don't think he can.
Of course, you have to decide after the election, basically, how you want to run it. But
I'm talking about the man. Pete
Flanagan cannot handle it, out of the question. He can't handle it in either place.
All right, that's just,
I wouldn't put him, whether you would keep it in state or keep it here depends on how you want to run things.
If he finds state, you have the right man.
Well, it depends. But if you have the right, that's
the right secretary, the right undersecretary, the right assistant secretary. See, I'm going to fire all, including Alex Johnson.
What I thought was Alex has been a loyal guy.
Oh, I've been an ambassador.
Yes.
I don't care to be an ambassador. I don't care. I think a lot of us are ambassadors. Anybody that's been loyal.
I'll tell you who could do the economic thing, Ingersoll in Japan.
Could he?
Yes. Particularly if you do it in the state, I don't know whether he could move fast enough in the White House.
You see, the way I got a tariff at the State Department, and I've just been waiting for this fix, I have no idea how much I'm going to do. The only man that can do it is Carlucci. He's young. He knows the young guys and so forth, and he's me. And we're going to tear those bastards the hell out of them. Anybody that's not for us is out of his ass. Or at Burundi. I mean, this is the way it's going to be. You're not going to be able to spoil it anymore. We're not going to have a CIA anymore, and we're not going to have a Defense Department anymore. It's interesting to note that when the government publishes its defense paper today, look at the names that are on Halpern, Gill, people, goddammit, that we held over for a while. It just
Not Gill, Halpern.
Didn't we have Gill?
No.
Well, he was on one of those advisory committees. Well, they would have held over if we let them. But you know how they go from administration.
We held Halpern for 6 months.
Yeah, they go from administration to administration, Henry, and cut our guts up. You know, I don't think even probably you realize how much we've been cut. Or maybe you know more than I do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we have fought these long
years. Because I've had to fight it every day. I've brought it all to you.
I know. You can't do it on the basis. You can't do it on the basis. Well, now we're in and they'll be good. Bullshit. If they weren't good when they thought they could beat us, they are not going to depend on that kind of loyalty. The moment that something goes bad, they'll all jump on us. I'm not going to have it anymore. I'm not going to have it.
I think we... you ought to
and then the Defense Department's going to get a chance too.
I mean, people ought to be cleaned out. But also the organizational structure has to be changed in state so that these guys become presidential and not just
everyone
for service.
They're all going to be appointed by me. But they gotta carry it out, and they gotta carry it out loyally.
That's what they have to do.
That's a tough situation. The defense department too is incredible.
This game player is back. You know, I found out yesterday he was going to pull 98 B-52s out of there, out of Vietnam in the next month. And there's one thing we don't need is to pull planes out while we are in these negotiations.
And not work, I should say. God damn, it's only 6 weeks to the election. Why didn't he just pipe down? Shut up. Yeah. You tell me.
Because he wants to be able to say that he cut us out of there. It makes
sense. At least he's useful with the way around.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he is beating up on McGovern.
What do you think of McGovern's new defense plan?
I haven't read it yet, but the son of a bitch. The mere fact that he's publishing three different plans on every subject kills it.
With and the smart people.
And then to say, again, I think his whole approach is wrong, to say our program will get to 100 billion by 1977. Americans are willing to spend what's needed. If he said it's unnecessary, they would have listened to it. The amount isn't what bothers people. I mean, the statistics are all in our favor. We are spending a smaller percentage of the GNP, a smaller sum in constant dollars. So from every... So he has a...
Well, let me tell you the worst thing this person said. In his European policy, he said that he had a policy change over the London Congress having a piece on it, and I saw it in the summary. He said, well, we really have no problem because we'll have airlift capabilities, and within 15 to 20 days after an attack came, we could airlift them. I just put it in the summary. I said, in 15 to 20 days, the goddamn war will be over.
Exactly. All our studies.
It'll be over. You know, do you have any studies showing that if the Russians were to move, even faint, that Christ, it'd be over. The Europeans would collapse.
President, first of all, what makes you think the airfields are going to be there? Secondly, all our studies show that within 20 days, if you cut the forces less than 20, they'll be across the Rhine.
And the other point about less than you cut the forces, as you know, the Europeans, with their weak knee governments, will collapse. Collapse.
But actually, the economists took it to pieces.
I thought so too, but I marked that on 15 to 20 days. If anybody ever raised that, thing, what was it? Is the man an idiot? Does he think that we're going to have, like we did in World War II, 2 years to build up? 2 years.
Mr. President, anyone who makes a change to foreign policy advisor is a fool. I had a talk yesterday with Rabin about the Jewish problem.
Yeah,
he said he would help us on it. It will take him about a week to quiet them down because it's a tough problem for them too, but he'll do it. And he agrees. He said it's hard for us to imagine the emotion in Israel on Munich, that they are under tremendous pressure domestically, but he said he would do his
best.
Oh, no, he's fine. There are two things that might help. One is, I thought it might be useful if we created an anti-terrorist committee, a government-wide committee, which we put...
There's a good reason to do it for another reason. Bill is off to do it. First, it gives them something to do.
Exactly.
Even they talk. But second, it gives us the... When you've gone, I got a whole headache, and I said, I want contingency plans. Because I'm really concerned with these. This sounds terrible. Rose talks to the soothsayer in Jean Dixon all the time. She was in. She talked all about her. She said, they are so desperate that they may kidnap somebody, they may shoot somebody, they may create this. We have got to have a plan. Suppose they do, for example, Henry. Suppose they kidnap for me and then ask us to release all blacks in prison throughout the United States, and we didn't. They shoot it. What the Christ do we do? And we're not going to give in to it. But my point is, you see what our problem is?
Can't give in.
We've got to have contingency plans for hijacking, for kidnapping, for all sorts of things that happen around here.
I agree.
Incidentally, if you would take a look at that, this yellow sheet, there's a rabbi that I've got to call, but the problem is that I know that he's the leader.
festival over there every year.
He's supposed to be a big man.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be a very big man. But I suggest this.
Whatever.
I said, I'll call. Thank you for your saying this. But what I was wondering is this. If you might call him and say, and I'm saying, I say, I'm calling you, Rabbi, the president's going to be calling you about your very great appreciation you put in front of him. He was asking you to call you in advance because in a very sensitive matter, he knows about it. So I just want to assure you, the matter has been taken up at his direction, but you cannot say so. You can only say what you've said to the press, that you have said to the press. But you say this is like an iceberg, Rabbi, or what do they call Dr. So-and-so, and there's going on, and you can count on this president, but it would, in the event that he makes a public statement on it, the Russians will then. Could you do that?
Sure.
If you did that, then I will call him and say, you can say, I want to tell you, want to say that how appreciative we are, that we're working on it, and you can also say that you had a very good point at discussion at my direction with the Israeli ambassador yesterday about the subject. He said, the president, you've never had a better friend. Israel's never had a better friend than it has right now. The Jewish community. The president's going to call you, but it's very important that I ask you, don't raise the subject of Soviet Jewry with him, because he will have to take a less positive position to you than we really need. Or how can you say it to him?
No, I can.
He's probably a decent man.
But I explained it to Rabin, and luckily the Soviets published their decree yesterday, with at least a few administrative loopholes, and I had told him on my own.
Did we do?
Well, I said what we are trying to arrange is not they can't revoke the decree, but that they won't administer it fully. So he gave us credit for that, even though they published the decree. Now we are having one other.
But now you call this call. I want to call him today. I don't want him to get off the reservation.
No, I'll call him within the next hour.
Call him and just say that you're doing it, and then you send the chart thing back into me, and I'll call him and thank you for his political support.
We have two problems now with the Israelis. Peterson has gotten involved with Persia because of Travis, and he wants to talk to them about the trade legislation and the Jewish problem. Now I think it's a mistake to get these three guys together. Secondly,
you mean to put a rider on the train legislation?
Well, to keep them from doing it. But if you talk to these guys together, Percy is never for us when it's tough. I think Peterson ought not to talk to them at all. This thing isn't going to go to Congress before January. By that time, emotions will have cooled.
No, it's about legislation to go in January.
Well, he wants...
He thinks they're going
to... He wants to make himself a big man. That's... Everybody agrees that he should talk to them.
All right, you know. You've got to tell him for the ground, on the ground, to the, what can you tell him?
Just tell him I've talked to Rabin, and
yeah,
we want to keep it in a low key now. We don't want, if he talks to Ribbikov and Peterson, and
first, well.
First of all, what he really wants is a lot of publicity for his goddamn trade agreement for himself.
But we may not make a trade.
So that way he's a big deal, and we've promised it to the Russians October 10th.
Oh, you mean the Russian trade?
Yeah, the Russians.
Oh, that. Yeah. But for him to get the Javits and those, he's just talking to people that have got to take a position and hang something.
Particularly when they're together.
They're all trying to outbid each other.
Oh.
Percy particularly is trying to master.
Exactly. But Percy pretends that he's a peacemaker, but whenever he makes peace, he comes up with proposals that hurt us.
When does he help us?
Never. Never on anything that we needed. On one other matter, Mr. President, which is this, the Israelis have made a request to us for some industrial help in producing their own tanks, which this we've approved, and in producing a modified version of the French airplane. Now, the bureaucracy is opposed partly because they're afraid it will get an airplane manufacturing competitor to us. That I think is nonsense, a country of 2 million. And secondly, because they think they'll lose leverage. The counter argument that I feel very much is if we could get them off our backs with periodic airplane deliveries, it would be a cheap price because we could then say...
I'd prefer not to do it.
And secondly, I think if you do it in October, it would do you some political good.
I'd prefer not to do it.
And secondly, it would mean vis-a-vis the Arabs, if you do it sooner or later, they'll drive us into it. They'll either force us to deliver them airplanes or know-how. I think if we do it in October, it will be blamed on the election campaign, and we won't lose too much with the Arabs.
Yeah, the Arabs.
If you do it in November or December, you lose a hell of a lot with the Arabs.
I agree. I'm for it. Forget the Arab and the rest. I'm for letting the Israelis do everything they can to defend themselves, period.
Well, so, and I'm sure, my judgment is, I was in Hague with me. If I could tell Rabin to say, now look, you call off the Jewish senators and we'll help you on this arms package.
Right.
That's a deal he'll understand.
Good.
Actually, the way we've got it set up, it will go through anyway, but it will go through in November when we don't need it.
Well, tell them, and you can tell Rabin, look, we can help you. Look, I decode for cases. Look, Mr. Ambassador, the president's going to win. Second, when he wins, he's going to be your friend. But don't make it more difficult for him. Don't be an American. Don't put him in a position where you embarrass him, because then, you know, he knows that.
Oh, he is. His problem, he's not your problem. In fact,
it's
the people at home.
That problem is some of our own American Jews.
And some of our own American Jewish people.
Boy, who basically made a cause of this. It's like the professional Catholics on behalf of St. Anthony.
Exactly.
All right.
Right.
Get rid of me, please.
Right.
Okay. Recover from your trip and feel all right?
Oh, yeah, I feel fine. Well, I'm going over again on Monday. Sort of two-day meeting, but you know what the system is. I don't know, these guys are so incompetent that I don't see how when I look over the papers, how they're going to make it technically.
Let me ask this, they bring themselves to anything, but we hope so. The only point is how we handle this POW thing. I think we've got to be walking tough on people who try to exploit.
Mr. President, here are three POWs. They first dragged them all over Hanoi. Then they sent them up to Stockholm and Copenhagen. No American, on routes where no American official can get at them. They arrange press conferences. They bring over opposition leaders. It's an intrusion.
They bring over hard CBS left-wing commentators.
I think I would hit them very hard. The Star had a good article by Warren Kelly the other day.